We see you. You're a colleague. You're a partner. You're a friend. You're always here to support your family and your community. Now there's a school ready to support you. National University offers tuition discounts for military spouses and free tutoring, so you get the support you need to succeed. National University, supporting the whole you.
That button is your prostate.
This is Penn Sunday School, and to our listening ears, all angels sing and round us spins the music of the sea.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School, starring Penn Jillette. My name is Michael Godeau. Penn, Matt, Rennie, Rich, and I are broadcasting from our separate homes around the world. On today's Chinwag, I'll bet we talk a little bit about how the Penn and Teller show at the Rio All Suites Hotel and Casino is back up and running, albeit through safety-minded, mandatory, reduced crowd size. Here he is, preaching love, Mr. Penn Jillette.
Jesus, that was not bad, Godeau.
Look at you.
Focus.
Yeah. Remember a few weeks ago when you were really great? What is it, 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah, it was really good, that one. Yeah. But this one was not bad. So you're at your sister's house, huh?
I am at my sister's house. My mother is on her supposed deathbed. So I am here and taking care of my mom.
And is your sister helping as well?
No. My sister is in Hawaii.
What?
It was just you and your mom?
My wife is up for a few days right now helping out, which is unbelievably fantastic.
Yeah, having a great nurse.
Because your wife's a nurse.
Yeah, a registered nurse is a little helpful when you're doing little home hospice care. It turns out.
Well, but she's neonatal.
Yeah, she does only tiny babies.
So in terms of Buddhist reincarnation, that's just, she's doing the same thing, really.
Yeah. She's just starting early.
Yeah.
Is she swaddling your mother? Is that what's going on?
She's pretty close. Tucking
the blanket in and everything, making sure she can't wiggle her arms around?
My mom can't wiggle her arms around. I just want to point out, even without the swaddling.
One of the things I learned having children was that you use the word swaddle.
Yeah.
I thought that word was just like one Christmas song, and that was it.
No, that's Sugar Plum Fairies. There are no Sugar Plum Fairies.
But if you swaddle the Sugar Plum Fairy, that's part of a limerick.
I find that talking about maids of milking outside of Christmas songs gets you in a lot of trouble. So I just leave that one alone.
Wondered why those lords were leaping. It's because the maids are milking.
I swaddled a sugar plum fairy, and she was surprisingly hairy. Christmas time came, and gone was her fame.
And now I'm living with her brother Barry.
I live with her brother named Larry. Get the rhythm right.
Sorry. That's not a skill I have.
Just a quick side note, by the way. Penn, for no reason, shared a reading of a poem for Patreon people. So shout out to our Patreon members. People got to hear that poem. They loved it. You got a lot of great...
Did you like that poem?
I liked it. It was very funny. And then you got a lot of great responses on the Patreon.
Yeah, there's this guy who does poems at Renaissance festivals. I believe he's like an English professor.
Yeah.
But he acts as though he were a poet and walks around doing poems, reciting them. And he's had a bunch of people do his poems. John Cleese did one, and I did one. And mine's not coming out for like months on his site. But I asked for permission.
Okay.
You know, for the Patreon people that give us like $5 a month or something.
Yeah.
We give them extra shit. And they just go to, where do they go? Patreon.com/Penn. That's all there's to it.
Yeah.
And we send them extra shit. And there's a David Greenberger thing we're going to send them very soon, too.
Oh, great.
David Greenberger did a really crazy thing. What a surprise.
Yeah.
the man's crazier than a shithouse rat.
Yeah.
And the way he looks after the lockdown, he looks like a death row librarian. For some reason, he's wearing orange all the time. And his beard is down to his dick. And his hair is down the middle of his back.
Oh, wow.
And he has, you know, those glasses and those piercing eyes. And he looks like, maybe you should read some Nietzsche. No, I don't have any Tom Clancy.
I guess with the Amazing Randy passing away, that corner was wide open.
Yeah, right? Wide open. Yeah. Wide open.
Yeah. The direct descendant from John Muir just runs through Randy and into...
Now, David Greenberger, you know, with Duplex Planet...
Yes.
...has spent his life interviewing people and then recording their stories in his voice. So what he's decided to do now is he's written stories from his life and he's having them recorded in other people's voices.
Oh, wow.
So I am telling a story about his daughter in first person, in David Greenberger's words.
Oh, that's really great.
With music behind it. So that should be really nice, and Patreon people will get that too.
Oh, that's great.
Patreon, there's another syllable in there.
I still listen to his album that came out, I guess, a few years ago.
Oh, he does such good albums.
It's really amazing. He does arrangements of him just reading stories of first person of interviews he's done, and just gathering the story through his voice, it's so amazing. And then just hearing, you know, older people talk about the different aspects of their life is just, I find it to be like better than meditating. Walking around listening to David Greenberger's thing makes me so tranquil. I love it.
He has this quality that is so important in actors and so rare. And that is, he really does trust the words.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing classical music, or really any kind of music, you sometimes need to trust the music. You can tell bad musicians because they'll lean into everything. You know, if there's a triplet figure, you'll just hit it really hard.
Yeah.
And if there's a crescendo, they hit it big. And people who are really good, they trust the music. And in acting, and especially in spoken word, trusting the words is one of the hardest things to do and really, really important.
Yeah.
You know, you tend to say, I want people to notice this, so I'm going to underline it. And then you underline it, and the whole audience goes, I knew that.
And we get it. Yeah, yeah.
We get it. But David Greenberger is so good at when there's something really emotionally powerful, he just lets the words do the work. And then he gooses it where he needs to.
Yeah.
And it's, he's a brilliant spoken word artist. Brilliant.
Yeah. The latest album was 2019's It Happened to Me. If you get a chance, I mean, I'm on, you know, Apple Music or whatever. I just grab it. It Happened to Me.
And also, I'm on there. One of my stories is on there.
Wait, which story are you?
This is the one that was done during the lockdown, during COVID?
No, this is right before COVID.
Okay. So the one after that, Teller's on and I'm on.
Oh.
He called us up and interviewed us. And then put my words in his mouth, which is crazy thing. So now Turnabout is fair play. So I have done that.
Oh, great. I can't wait to hear it. That sounds fast.
He spent so much of his time doing Duplex Planet, I guess that he probably saw a lot of non-underlined words play really strong. You know what I mean? He really had the experience of talking to many, many old folks and them telling his stories and really learning how they talk.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the other thing that makes it, there's a philosophical thing that goes on with David Greenberger, and that is that taking so many different people's experience, you know, from immigrants who you know, came over from Mexico, came up from Mexico, and then ended up in you know, palliative care in a nursing home, from their stories to, he did a whole thing for the blind and then for the elderly. But they're all told in his voice with the same band behind him, it gives this universal picture of the human race in a really natural way.
Yeah.
Because all the experiences are filtered in the same kind of David Greenberger, beautifully compassionate and yet not overwrought, simple statement voice, that it gives a, there's a philosophical content in just the fact that David Greenberger does it. But now, the way David Greenberger looks, he's promised his granddaughter he will dye his beard pink before he shaves it. Because his son-in-law is very worried that when he shaves, it's going to scare his granddaughter a lot. Because she just sees him as a big ball of hair.
Yeah.
So it's all going to be dyed pink, and I believe he's going to cut his beard in front of his granddaughter or something.
That's a good plan.
That's good.
He, David Greenberger continues to do great, great, great stuff. He's
yeah,
really wonderful. So you are, you told us before we came on, Godot, you are living out in the tent of your sister's house.
I am. She's a part of a, there's a, what we've talked about before, Tenter is a website where you can rent tents or like cabins in people's yards.
And that was, that's the company that was formed by those people who are really shitty at naming things. Is that right?
Yeah. 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 There's not even an E. It's Tenter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 10 railroad. Tenor. Tenter.
They actually had a bunch of really good names at the whiteboard, and then that company came in and took over right when the meeting was happening. And just, yeah, and just wiped the board clean.
Yeah.
So we're going with, wait, we were purchased?
We have intense, which I like.
Yeah. Yeah. Past tense is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have pitched perfect, which is out there. Just like
Pitch Perfect is very nice. We like that. And
yeah, we have a stake in it. Yeah, yeah, there were a lot of choices.
Oh, John and Dave from the Couple Guys Corporation are buying us. Uh-huh. They're calling it Tenter.
Oh gosh, that's I really.
They wanted it to sound as much like Tinder as possible. They just thought. Tinder's very successful. If we could call it something like that.
Yeah.
No. So I am staying in her Tinder.
We want to give people the idea that they will get fucked in a tent.
And I believe that is the intention. That if
intention
they might-
was mine. Intention was mine. That was my name.
Blame it. They named it. No.
No, intention.
Intention, yeah. Yeah, that was another possibility.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's the one I came up
That's
with.
That's a good one.
Intention.
Well, she has that, and because she's gone to Hawaii, it's blocked off, so no one is coming in except for me. So I've been sleeping out in the tent. And
now, why are you sleeping in the tent instead of in the house?
Well, I've moved into the house now that my mom is back in the house, but... For the first few days I was here, I was staying in the tent.
I just want to say your wife is getting in a pen as a tech.
I chose the tent. Yeah. My wife is, yeah. She may have, did you call me and tell me to move into the house? Because someone did. Your wife is sleeping in the house, you idiot. Why don't you go there?
I know, I'm saying Penn's wife is getting in and texting me all intents and purposes.
So. All intents and purposes. See? These guys.
Nope, Tenter.
Tenter.
Tenter, that's what we're going with.
Wait, this just in. No intents and purposes, that's...
But so most of us, like, if you say, if I came on and was like, hey, I'm staying in a tent in my sister's backyard, people would say, like, Matt, what went wrong? What circumstances took place?
Yeah. What did you say
put
to
you
her?
In the backyard in a tent? Whereas you come on and it's kind of like you really are indifferent, right? As to whether you stay in the tent in the backyard or stay in the
house. Oh, no, I'm indifferent. No, I much prefer to stay in the tent in the backyard.
Oh, okay.
Why? I mean, I have a one-word argument. Plumbing. Why would you prefer to be in a tent?
Yeah, I can manage to go most of the night without peeing, so it's not quite as desperate on the plumbing as you would think.
Well, tell that to your UPS driver.
We are, yeah, yeah. I did have those problems with UPS, but we were...
Why do you prefer a tent?
She has a pond in her backyard, and this tent is right next to the pond, and the frogs are singing, and it's kind of neat. And what I should point out is it probably actually is frog sexual harassment, right? Aren't they just whistling at the girl frogs? hey, come over here. Hey, that's all they do most of the night.
I'm available.
Yeah, right here, baby. I got your frog legs.
my Tenter app says you're three feet away.
That's the Croaker app, I believe. Now, when you say pond, I love the frogs. But what comes into my mind is skeeters. Aren't there skeeters there too?
There aren't very many skeeters yet. It's still early in the season. It's a little too chilly for them. Also, we have the county will give you what they call mosquito fish to put into your pond that will eat the mosquito larvae. And for some reason, when we filled this pond up, they would only give us like 7 of them a day. So you would have to drive down there and they would give you 7 of these little minnow fish and you'd race back and throw them in your pond. And so we did that for a number of days until we had a few hundred fish.
Wow.
And now they have bred wildly, and we don't seem to have very many mosquito larvae in the pond.
Was pretty good. The limit was on because of demand that many people would want to?
It must be demand. They're just fucking with me. No, you can only have 7. Everybody else gets thousands.
Or I was thinking that like 7 is all you need, and you don't want to be like greedy or something.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Nope, I needed hundreds. I have a pretty big pond, so we finally got that up to snuff, so there are not many mosquitoes. But the thing that's freaking me out about the pond is that every 20 minutes or so, for no apparent reason, all of the frogs go silent at the exact same time. So it's, ah, bah, 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 and then, pew, they're all quiet. There's not even like one extra guy going, eh. It's just not another sound. And then for 10 minutes, there's no sound from the pond. And then one of them starts and they all start back up. But I don't know what is scaring the hell out of the frogs every 20 minutes.
I think it's the price of Bitcoin. They figure the Ponzi scheme is finally collapsing. They get frightened.
It could be.
See, frogs are very sensitive to economic bubbles.
Or some sort of bubbles. I don't know.
They believe that perhaps the market has been glutted with mosquito fish.
Yeah, they are hoping for the actual mosquitoes rather than the larvae, because I don't believe they eat the larvae, but they do eat the mosquitoes. So they are probably at war with the mosquito fish.
Yeah, I would want to figure that out too, so I could just replicate whatever that noise is for 8 hours so I can sleep at the tent at night.
Yeah. You should be able to buy an electronic frog scarer of some sort. Just set a timer.
Now, is this tent rental been successful for your sister? Well, she's gone to Hawaii, so I guess it is.
It's very successful. It is rented out every weekend, every day, really, that she wants it to be rented out, it is rented out. The odd thing, I mean, it's expensive. It's, you know, it's $100 or $115 a night or something.
Whoa.
How big is the tent?
Yeah. It's 120 feet by...
That's a big enough tent to hold Trump supporters and financially conservative Republicans.
Hey, if you have an outdoor camping site that advertises mosquito free, I would definitely pay $115.
But what is in the tent that makes it worth $115?
A very nice bed, a warm comforter, some nice lamps.
There's a bed?
Yes, there's a bed. The lamps? In the tent. Yes.
This is not a tent. This is the house.
It's battery powered lamps, but it's very, very comfortable. You know, and there's a propane heater if you need it. And this is the pond and the frogs and in nature, and it's in Sonoma, so people are going to the wineries and river rafting,
getting shit faced and coming back to a tent.
Yeah, and crashing through the wall into the tent. Yeah. So yeah, it's a big success for her. She has a very lovely yard, though. Like I said, there is a pond, and there are lilies growing in the pond, and sometimes there's an otter. There's a river otter that shows up in the pond, and we don't know how he gets there or where he goes. and there are bobcats and foxes in the yard. And at the right time of year, there are blackberries growing everywhere. It's pretty idyllic.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say right time of year, there are black bears. And I was like, that's not the right bears time.
Growing everywhere.
I am not in
you can
for
pick
that.
The black bears.
Does she have like a cute name for it? And that probably
yeah,
helps.
Of course. The lily pad. It's the
lily
pad. Oh, pad. Yeah. Wait till that company buys that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It'll be called Pond Tent. Pond Tent. Pond Tent.
Wet bed. I think wet bed.
Wet bed.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So that's what's going on here. I have moved back into the house now that my mom... It completely incoherent at the beginning of the week. I raced off after last week's podcast to get here in time. We thought she was going to die at any moment. And here we are a week later, and she's home and having dinner and enjoying the time here now. So
that's wonderful.
It is. I mean, we have so many more, you know, we've had so many nice conversations. We've gotten to call all of her friends and say goodbye. It's such a rare luxury to have this. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's painful and exhausting and delightful, and we cry all day, and it's great. Not, wow. Yeah, great in a horrible way.
Yeah,
well, it's a great way to handle something horrible.
Yeah.
Great. It's just life.
It is life.
What life is.
And most people don't get the luxury of talking to their friends and saying goodbye and stuff. I've been teasing her that, you know, she can't live now. Everyone's already said goodbye. Jeez. It seems ungracious of you to still be alive, but she still has enough of a sense of humor to indulge me and pretend to laugh when I say that to her. So,
is she in a great deal of pain?
She is not. She is not. She's home here and has the meds that she needs to stay comfortable and... starting Monday, I believe hospice people will come and give her, you know, in-bed baths and clean her up and change her sheets and stuff. So all of those things will be easier and better soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hospice people, boy, they are astronauts.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They're so good at their jobs.
Yep.
They're just amazing.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they have to walk these fine lines because they don't know. They could be dealing with an evangelical Christian family.
Right.
They could be dealing with nut atheists like me. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
And they're able to tight wire that. You know, I dealt with all the hospice people when my dad and my mom were dying. And they were remarkably good with me, with my, like I said, with my odd sense of humor with my mom, which I bet in America, I mean, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I bet that kind of gallows humor is very common. I bet hospice people, you know, the thing about you said goodbye to everybody, you can't get better now. We tend to present that as, oh, this is Goofy Goudreau. But I bet that a lot of at least American families are very much like that. The hospice people probably see a lot of that,
that
way of coping.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And they've been, you know, like you said, quite careful in asking about her beliefs and our beliefs and how we want to handle them and that sort of thing. So they've been great. And I've only so far dealt with the weekend hospice lady. Tomorrow, the 5-day one comes in. So we'll see how she is.
Also, are you, I don't even know if, are you the only atheist in your family or?
No, my mom is as well and my sister. So. We're united on that front. So when they asked, you know, do they want a pastor to call you? My mom went, hell no. So she was raised in the Catholic school. So she learned not to appreciate the way religious people treated her. So,
you know, I was just going to say the name, but I won't. I have a very good friend, a rather famous friend, who wanted to send his daughter to Catholic school so she would be an atheist.
Wow.
And he was not joking. He really thought that, he said that was what pushed him so strongly in that direction. And yeah. Also gave him the theological knowledge to support that.
Yeah.
His wife vetoed it.
Well, that's because you end up with that passionate atheism. Whereas I was excited to, I have two friends who were just raised without any religion.
Yeah.
And they really are always like, what is the fuss about? They do not care at all. And I was very excited that I could possibly raise my children with that calm about it.
Yeah. But, Teller was like that. Teller was raised with no religion at all.
Yeah.
His parents had to elope because they were from different religious families, and they just threw all of it out.
Yeah.
Teller had no religion at all.
Yeah, no. My family never took me to church at any time during my entire childhood, or even suggested it. I had a Jewish friend. I went to temple with him a couple of times because of the food involved, and that was my religious experience as a child.
I'll have the soup.
Yeah. These are good crackers.
Well, actually, good crackers are more the evangelicals.
Yeah. So it's been a difficult week, but
well, I'm positive. Glad you're there. I'm glad you made it.
Thank you. Me too.
Couldn't have been a fun plane ride.
She went to not a fun plane ride, The first day, she was very, very tired and not very communicative. And then the second day, she was calling everyone Dean Adele. You know, you guys know Dean Adele was a skeptical radio show real MD who was actually a big Penn and Teller fan and a big bullshit fan. Talked about it on his radio show quite a lot. And I don't know, it was pre-podcast days. And for a while, it started with, you know, asking the nurse, are you Dean Adele? And it progressed until it was every part of speech. Did your Dean Adele, Dean Adele, Dean Adele, Dean Adele, which is kind of funny and really terrifying.
Right. Yeah.
And every now and then it got funny, but a lot of the time it was like, oh, this seems like it's probably bad, right?
Yeah.
And then the next day she woke up and was her chatty self.
Wow.
Did you discuss Dean Adele with her?
I tease her about it still. Yes. Yes. Much like.
Did she have any memory of it?
She does seem to have some memory of it. And in fact, at one point, a couple of days ago, she called someone Dean Adele again. And I thought, uh-oh. And snapped right back out of it. So.
Wow.
Yeah. The brain is astonishing and odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad was saying, toward the end of his life, he would be saying really weird shit. And you couldn't tell if he was kidding or just, you know, which he kind of wasn't, but he seemed to be aware it was nonsense at some level.
Yeah.
But
right.
Also was still saying it, which I guess is the story of my life.
That's right. That makes the brain fascinating because it really is two different things, right? Where you think of something to say and say it versus you see how it's received. It's right. A different thing, right? To see someone receiving information.
She was clearly by the middle of it, clearly not talking about Dean Adele or using Dean Adele as actually a name. It had become every part of speech, and so I feel that she felt she was saying things, but only thing coming out was Dean Adele.
Wow,
very strange. Yeah.
Well, Dean Adele is a good name.
It's yeah,
good sounding. You know, was it Nabokov? Uh-huh. Who thought the most beautiful phrase in English was cellar door.
Yeah.
He thought cellar door. Many people have said cellar door is the most beautiful sound in English, cellar door. But Dean Adele's not bad.
And maybe he'll contact us now. Who knows?
You know, we're talking about mom, and I'm going to segue in a very crass way into an ad.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because the perfect Mother's Day gift is this the skylight frame. You got one for your dad, right, Godot?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has one.
One 100 yards away.
Oh, really?
My dad lives next door, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But a skylight for your mom is a really, really terrific thing. It's a frame that sits in your house and sits in your mom's house probably, and you send photos. So if you live far away from your mom, you can just send her photos all the time, give the address to everybody, and they pop up. It's a really, really nice thing. Nowadays, staying in touch with those we love is more important than ever. And the easiest way to do it is with Skylight, a photo frame you can email photos to anytime from anywhere. A great way to feel close to those you love, even when you're far away. Sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds, and even the least tech savvy can use it. Did your father set up well there, Godot?
He did set it up well, and he is not very tech savvy. It sat in a box for a few days because he was afraid of it. And I finally said, it's really easy, just take it out. And he did and got it set up. So,
Skylight Frame is a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen. You can swipe through photos with your finger, even tap to thank the person who sent the photo. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love your Skylight, we'll offer you a full refund. Preloaded with favorite photos for a special Mother's Day gift. Surprise them with photos they didn't even know you had. You can tap the heart button and let the senders know you love the photo. This makes the frame interactive and fun to use. So your dad's loving it, right?
He loves it. It's been great. And it's so fun to just send him things to surprise him. And I sent a photo of that Cirque Mechanics. I sent a photo of that to your wife.
Well, that's nice. Photo. Now is a special holiday offer. You can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter code
PEN.
That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter the code
PEN.
That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. And the code is
PENN.
Nice job, gentlemen. Nice job.
I like that we managed to pull it off. Even though you can't see Reddy, you can still hear his voice every now and then.
Reddy's been under the weather. He's not.
And now he's under the camera.
He's not yet communing with Dean Adele.
Yeah, you can't see him. He's laying on the floor. He managed to reach up and start the show and say pen a couple of times. So
I kind of like it. Feature, not a bug, I say.
Yeah. We see you. You're a colleague. You're a partner. You're a friend. You're always here to support your family and your community. Now there's a school ready to support you. National University offers tuition discounts for military spouses and free tutoring, so you get the support you need to succeed. National University, supporting the whole you.
So what have you been up to, Matt Donnelly? We know the Godot was...
I also had a very emotional week. I went and got an oil change. And so I guess, you know, it's...
For you or for your car?
Oh, good point. At first, I went for my car, and then I went back. I drove around, came right back in for me. And I guess, like, you know, COVID protocols, this company around the corner decided to, like, lean in, right? Like, let's really, if we're going to do it, let's hang a lantern on it. So you stay in your car for your oil change, and then they make a really big production out of it. And it's made me very uncomfortable. Roll your windows down, and they're like, bring it in, hold, up, check the time, good. And they, like, yell at each other and do all these things to check you, to, like, change your oil. And I'm like, please stop, please. It's like that ice cream company where you tipped and they would sing for you. Yeah. And you had to be like, if I'm tipping you to not sing, right? You're like, just please,
I believe an oil change is quite a boring thing. Please just do it that way.
And they're masked
and yelling at each other, and like a kind of militaristic call and response kind of way. And then they said, I said, but my oil light is still on in my car. And they go like, oh, and they just reach in and like hit like three buttons and it goes away. And I was like, wait, there's no automatic thing. There's just, I was like, you exposed the magic trick to me and I'm really uncomfortable.
This light on my dashboard. I don't know, but I've been told this oil is mighty old. Was that there? A Judy chant? I'm so proud of knowing the term Judy chant.
New court, 1, 2. New court, 3, 4. I was like, whoever's working at this mechanic place, I really wish I could have been there for training day. Like, I really wish. Because so I'll segue to the Penn and Teller show. Because right now in the Penn and Teller show, you have your crew doing choreography for a trick.
Our crew did not go gently into that dark night.
So you have one person on your staff, Georgie, who's a professional dancer and a true showgirl, right? Uh-huh. And then she was in charge of coordinating four crew members through choreography of shuffling things. So, you know, she's going through it. It was very, honestly, what was cute was it was very like family-like. It felt very much like brothers razzing their sister. She was doing it and they were busting her balls the entire way, and then but never saying, fuck this, I won't do it. Like they did.
Zeke came up to me and said very quietly and sincerely, fucking hate the choreography more than anything in the fucking world. And then walked away and continued to do his job.
That's it. They're all doing it, right? And it all ends with them shuffling people around and then doing this final pose behind them, right? And then they are supposed to pose and then walk off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Georgie comes up to me after a note session and was like, I feel like maybe they're rushing it a little bit and they're not going off 1 through 5. And I was like, yeah, that's true. she's like, do you think they want to do it? And Zeke was in the room. I was like, well, here's one of the people right here. Zeke, do you feel like you're rushing it at the end of that thing? He's like, yeah, I just want to get the fuck off stage. I was like, yeah, the exit is rushed, but I don't think I can get the note in to get the crew to become people who want applause and attention. I was like, the idea is they do a final pose, get applause. Z, do you want applause? He goes, I got on this job specifically to get no fucking applause. and I was like, turning to Georgie, I was like, so here's who you're working with.
My know? Suggestion like, is move Zeke to 1.
But the thing is that one position is highly coveted.
Yeah.
Nate has seniority, and he is in the one position.
Yeah,
he gets the fuck off stage first.
Totally true. Nate would be like, over my dead fucking body, you're taking the one spot. I am out of here.
And Kurt, who is the newest guy, only 12 years with us, he's in position 4. And Georgie happily takes 5.
Yeah.
But you might have noticed when that was done. I mean, the crew include my closest friends, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Robbie Libben.
Yes.
My friend for longer than I've known Teller. Really good friend of mine. Zeke, one of my closest friends. I love Nate. I love Kurt.
Yeah.
And I think you'll notice that during those rehearsals, I couldn't make eye contact with any of them.
I kept waiting for them to blow up.
You, Teller and Georgie were telling them what to do. And I was very interested in my feet and my knees.
I I was really like, when we had a rehearsal schedule come out and they're like, all right, first 45 minutes will be on chair choreography. I was like, oh no, they're coming into rehearsal knowing they're slated to rehearse choreography. This is going to be a nightmare.
Oh, they are so unhappy. And you know, you would say, Georgie would say, yeah, anybody in show business would say, oh, they're going to grow to love it. No, no, they are not going to grow to love it.
That's not where my bet was. I still lost the bet, but then my bet wasn't they were going to grow to love it.
You know, Penn and Teller famously have a very loyal crew and a very good relationship with our crew. And I believe we pushed it right up to the breaking point.
I definitely agree.
Right on the edge of them becoming another Magician's crew.
Well, that's, I mean, and also like...
right on the edge of Copperfield getting the four best guys that ever worked with him joining his crew. That's how close we were.
Well, especially because, like, I mean, you guys change up your tricks more than the average headliner, right? You change up your routines more than the average headliner.
Well, yes, because other headliners don't, and we do.
So the amount of, like, the laundry list that could come to you would be like, I learned, and just rattle off the amount of different trades and things they've learned to make things work backstage would be longer than I think other people's crews. And then
they can do anything. They can do
anything. They can do anything. And then the top would be like, I don't want to fucking move to music with these goddamn chairs.
Right. These are guys who have gone to slaughterhouses.
Yeah.
Bought offal.
Okay, right.
Right.
And then sucked the offal through a hose to get a siphon going to move it off a bleeding rig for Letterman. And had to quickly light a cigarette to get the taste out of their mouth because they were becoming nauseated. These are guys that did that happily.
Tell them to strike a final pose, take an applause, and then leave one by one.
I gotta tell you, that final pose is one of the most amazing things in show business. I mean, if you want to talk about letter, not the spirit, they have that nailed.
Definitely, definitely.
They do everything they have to do and not a scintilla more.
Yeah. Especially where they all struck their own poses to be wise asses, and we all were like, keep it. It was a real, that was a real stare down moment in rehearsals.
I fucking hate this fucking choreography more than anything in the fuck.
It's like, it reminds me of when you were on Celebrity Apprentice and you started singing Hey Jude every time you didn't want something to air.
Yeah.
And the person was like, the one smart person in the meeting was like, he knows why he's singing it. You know? And yeah, it was
they kept telling me, we cannot get rights to Hey Jude. We'll never be able to get rights. We cannot buy that song. And you sing it in the middle of an argument where Arsenio, we really want to use it. And I go, huh. He knows. He knows.
Georgie's like, I feel like they're supposed to do this and they're rushing off instead. I was like, they know what's going on.
Yeah. Maybe we need to run through it one more time. I think they're just counting a little off.
They understand. And it's just, it is definitely letter of the law. It's like a wedding coordinator who's like, please skip 6 feet and go. 6 feet and go. And by the end, everyone's just running into each other, piling into the pews. That's what's happening at the exit of that trick part. And Georgie caring is really, like, I couldn't laugh in the moment, but it was really tickling me.
And when you watch it, it is tremendous. Because you'd never get to see that kind of AB. Here's what they want. Here's what they're getting.
Right there on display.
You know, Georgie with her perfect posture and right on the beat, doing everything, and everyone else just slogging through. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So
worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
So how are the big shows? You having fun? Were you okay going back?
It's amazing. You know, people would say to me after the show, man, you guys work so hard. And I would just always go, no, emergency room doctors work really hard. Receptionists work really hard. Construction workers and coal miners work really hard. We don't work at all. You know, like Springsteen does a 3-hour show. He has a little bit of a cold. And I'd say, that is not hard work. It's not hard work. Secretaries work a full 8-hour shift for assholes, you know, with a cold. Springsteen, you know, gets coddled backstage, does his 3-hour show, and then goes back and has, like, you know, doctors and nurses
right
caring for him. And he's, if he wants, he could be carried back to his hotel, you know.
Yeah.
You're treated wonderfully. So I'd always, Scott, you know, just say, we're not working hard. Jesus Christ, we're working hard. It's been, you know, it's been 421 days between shows. During that time, I exercised every day. I would swim. I played my bass. I did some vocal exercises. We did that first run through, and the next day I couldn't fucking move.
Yeah.
I was so tired. After the Thursday night show, the first show, the next day, which coincidentally was Friday, I had trouble getting out of bed. I got out of bed for an hour, went back and took a nap. I got out of bed again. I went and fell asleep in the chair. I was having trouble getting the energy to get up and eat.
My God.
Exhausted. And my chest from talking was just, and just pacing around and gesticulating. My back was killing me. My arms are killing me. I saw a teller the next day. Looked like he was coming in a wheelchair, you know. But 3 days, and we're back in the groove.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning feeling good.
You guys did a friends and family night before your opening night. Mm-hmm. It seemed like in rehearsals, you guys were just like ready to go. Were you happy you did the friends and family night to warm up before your first show?
I don't know. The friends and family night was so much worse than the real opening night.
Yeah.
We were told we'll never have an audience that's more receptive. Bullshit. The friends and family were much less happy to see us than the real audience.
That is the truth. I was at both shows. And as soon as, I think, like, as soon as, like, your third routine in, I was like, oh, I forgot how much I fucking hate friends and family shows. Like, not because it just that your friends and family behave, right? So they might clap when they think they're supposed to, or laugh when they think they're supposed to, you know? And then when you guys are doing classics, your friends and family have seen Nail Gun and Shadows and Fish a lot.
And but so, more than half the show is new.
Yeah.
But half the show to those people was not.
Right. Right, right, right. No.
There were 30 minutes of the show that was the same for them. I came out of the Friends and Family show so fucking depressed.
Really?
I came home and just flopped down in a chair and felt like shit. And on top of that, the best thing about Friends and Family show, you get to hang out with friends afterwards, which I couldn't do because of COVID.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It was horrible. I hated it.
I was only happy about it because a few things went imperfectly, and I just was like, oh, okay, well, at least it doesn't. Whatever jitters would have been going into the first show, or at least are gone. But then
I was also shaking. I was shaking doing the show.
Yeah.
And I came out for the real audience, and I felt better. I was standing straighter. My voice was stronger. I was funnier, cleaner, tighter. It was good. So we had to go through that.
Yeah, the first show was gangbusters. It was really great. And then also, like, for someone watching, I was like, good, I get to hear what it's like to have real applause from shadows into the next bit and not friends and family like, yep, that I know that one. go into the next bit.
I helped them build that. Yeah, you know.
That was my idea, actually, that
in there. Yeah.
That's the whole audience is saying. I gave him that line, yeah.
So the first show, first paying audience, as full as it can be logistically with COVID protocols, that felt great. Did it feel great to you? It felt great.
Really, really great. So great.
Yeah.
And I came home after the first night feeling pretty good, yeah.
Good.
Although I'll tell you something. You know, we got credit for working hard. And we didn't think we were, and we actually were.
Right.
Meet and greets.
Yeah.
People say to us, boy, you guys, you do the meet and greets, you meet everybody from the audience, it's 45 minutes, you're so nice to everybody. Wow. I did not know how much I relied on the meet and greets. For 45 years, I've met the audience after the show. And if something doesn't go right in the show, they don't care. They remember the stuff that went well. You know, when you go to see a show, you don't think afterwards, the third number was a little weak, or that didn't go right. You're remembering the parts that killed you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you come out elated. So people that don't do meet and greets, which is everybody, you know, they don't get to see what the audience really thought of the show and how full of joy they are.
Yeah.
So boy, that first night we finished the show and I walked off stage into the dark alone.
Right.
Instead of running into the light.
Never done that.
Never done that.
Yeah.
Running into the light with hundreds of people having enjoyed the show I just did.
Yeah, everybody wants to come by and pat you on the back and say thank
you. Yeah, you could not.
Even if it's been the quietest show ever, they've still had the time of their lives.
Oh, the quietest show.
And it's just in your head. Yeah.
The quietest shows are sometimes the most effusive afterwards because they were really paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get this thing in my head, oh, Jesus, on the D sliding up on looks simple. I was flat and it sounded shitty. And then I get lost in the monologue and I flip two lines. And then I go out and I talk to the audience. I forget all of that instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Feels great.
Right.
But boy, Thursday night, the audience went crazy as 250 people can go in a room full of, 1,500.
Yeah.
They went crazy. And I walked off stage and I was totally alone and in the dark.
That's bizarre. That's really bizarre.
And I walked back. This is what everybody else does.
Yeah.
Springsteen walks off stage. He's alone and in the dark.
Yeah. And that's why he goes back out for another half hour. I was going to say, that's what most people do. And most people are a little darker about show business than you and Teller.
Yeah. And well, give us a year like this.
Yeah. A little more glib. Glib's not the right word, is it? I don't know, but about like, they could say the fear of burning out on magic and stuff like that. You guys never talk like that.
No, but now we will. Turns out we really love the audiences and doing the show. Turns out that what people think, like, oh, Penn and Teller love doing the show and love meeting people after, 100% true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you need to get some spacesuits. You need a spacesuit. They can just plug in and put your helmet and suit on and then go out and greet everybody and hug them. And
the problem is not us.
Oh, yeah.
We want to do this thing with meeting people on Zoom. The problem is keeping people from each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, so for our listeners, they last heard from you. You were warned by Hondro and Piff about feeling foreign and not knowing what to do as you went through your show.
I feel, and I don't know, Matt, you watched it, I didn't.
Yeah.
I felt that some of my bad habits had gone away. I felt I might be better. I thought maybe there were nervous tics that I developed over years and years and years, mostly in my vocals and how I move.
Yeah.
And I thought I could start fresh without those. And I thought it was a little bit crisper and a little bit more sincere. Is that possible? Did any of that come across?
I mean, well, you guys were gangbusters, so I don't know if... I know for a fact that the Honduran Piff thing didn't apply to you, and it, you guys were spot on your stuff, and in fact had like an electric show. Your show ran 12 minutes longer in front of a real audience than it did in front of friends and family, so I'll let you know what a real audience...
Well, in front of friends and family, we might as well be doing choreography with chairs.
So I was like,
wanted to get the fuck off stage.
12 minutes of like actually, you know, basking in some of the applause and laughter and really utilizing your conversations with people and stuff. Yeah, there was no shortage of suspects for why the 12 minutes happened. But I also like, I don't know if Hondro has like a home theater.
Right, he doesn't.
And then the thing that I remembered totally after the fact was with when I was there for the opening of Piff at the new showroom, the Donnie and Marie room at the Flamingo. And I kept saying, this would have been a Herculean task. He was given 3 weeks to open his show in this new showroom for this larger room. No COVID protocols. This is a Herculean task. Just to move the show from that room he was in to that giant stage and get it up in 3 weeks was nuts. Nuts. So without a COVID protocol, that was nuts. And so then he had to do it with COVID protocols. So of course he felt that way about doing that.
Yeah, we had the best possible. We were coming back home.
Yeah.
And not only that, but all the same people around us. I mean, I don't think this is true for everybody in show business, but our crew are our friends. I mean, really our friends. We enjoy our time with them. I was so happy to see Robbie and Zeke and Nate and Kurt and Bert and Matt and Drew. I mean, I was just thrilled to see everybody. I was even thrilled to see Jonesy.
Your jazz set on your first night was really, really dialed in.
Yeah. Jonesy said to me after, you should take 14 months off more often. You sounded good. Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice. Really good to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about this on the next show. But Godot, please give our best to Dean Adell.
I think he already is.
He lost him completely.
Yeah, he's coming back.
He's tending to his mom. Well, okay, well, we can wrap it up without Godot. But I know Godot's mom. You know, Godot's mom is just wonderful. She used to run the box office of Lance Burton's show. Did you know this?
Oh, gosh. No, I did not know this.
Lance Burton did his show at the Hacienda.
Yeah.
And Godot was the variety act. And his mom worked the box office.
That's pretty great.
So they would call and she'd say, you're going to come see my son tonight. He's really, really good. Watch The Juggler and the Variety Act. I mean, I almost cry thinking of that. But for years, if you wanted tickets to see Lance Burton, you'd talk to Mrs. Godot about getting tickets to see her son.
Oh, that's amazing.
And let me tell you, if you called on the fence about whether to buy tickets or not, you bought them. Yeah, Mrs. Godot is exactly what you'd expect from Michael Godot's mom. She is funny and sweet and kind and wonderful. And I'm so glad Godot's with her and getting this time with her. She's just she's just the greatest. She's just the best. And I hope he remembers a few of our jokes to tell her, because I think she'd love that. And I hope Reddy feels better. But for now, that was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha-cha-cha.
And to our listening,
you become naked. Let's get it! No, he's back. We said some nice things about you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
your mom while you were gone. I said she used to run the box office at Lance.
That was Penn's Sunday School.
Well, she was great at it. Selling tickets to your son's show couldn't be better.
That was Penn's Sunday School.
You know, we love you. And please give all of our best to your mom, Gouda. Do you have anybody to thank there, Matt?
I want to thank Winter Wiakowski, Allison Sage, James Amaral, Kristen Kledick, Michael Cohen, Dr. Scooplittle, Joseph Mastrangelo, Jeremiah Jenkins, Nate Soloway, Kelly Reeves, Michael Kaplan, Jesse Miller, Alexander Hoffman, Michael Howard, Danny Olwine, Julian Webb, Peter Shallot, Stephen Volcano, Grace, Jim, the 20-year naked magician, Scooped Mids, and Paul McBride. Thanks, all.
Thank you for letting me be Mice Elf again.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.